to episode 354 of Fly Away. Here at Outlander Travel, we're passionate about, well, travel. Throughout the years, we've seen many changes to the industry, but one thing that has stayed the same is the urge to explore our world and make the connections that can only be made through experience. My name is Sandy, and this week I'm joined by fellow Outlander travel agents, Elizabeth, Donna, and George. Gone are the days of traveling whenever and wherever we want. Since the emergence of COVID-19, things have just not been the same. And while we've begun to adjust to the new normal with various health protocols being implemented, one thing that hasn't changed is the importance of travel insurance. So tonight, we are thrilled to welcome back Bonnie Roschke to the show.
Yay! Bonnie,
Bonnie is Vice President, Head of Leisure Travel for Chubb Travel Protection. Bonnie is an avid business and leisure traveler who has visited over 80 countries. When it comes to travel insurance, it's important that you experience what you sell. And for over the past 25 years of her career, that is exactly what Bonnie has been doing. So she is here to speak to us about the importance of having travel insurance, what to look for when purchasing travel insurance, and what to expect when you start to travel again. So let's get started. Yay. Thank you so much for being here again, Bonnie. Really, really appreciate it.
Oh, thank you, Sandy. It's an honor to always participate in your podcast, especially in this new time of people starting to travel again and the rules have changed for traveling. And I've gotten firsthand experience traveling in the last 6 months throughout this and getting a really good idea as to what people can expect. And of course, everything about travel insurance.
Yes. Perfect. So tell us just a little bit about yourself. I know you were on the podcast before and we're happy to have you back. But for the people who didn't get to hear it the first time, just to give us a little recap about your experience.
Ultimately, my experience, my entire career has been travel insurance. And as I'm an expert in travel insurance, I'm also an expert in travel. I have traveled, as you mentioned, to over 80 countries during my career on business and on leisure. I've experienced the travel insurance product firsthand, from a slip and fall in Belize to my husband recently double spraining his ankle in Mexico, to having flight delays and situations happen while traveling. But ultimately, everything I know, everything I've ever done in the 25 years of my career has been travel insurance. So I'm honored to be here and help your customers further understand the importance of travel insurance and why, especially moving forward as people start returning to travel, why it's critical to make sure they evaluate what type of coverage they're purchasing and what they really need to have on their travel insurance policy.
That is such a good point, because I think, you know, it's really hard for me. I just have to tell people to read the policy and tell me if they have questions or call Chubb themselves and get their questions answered. But I think it's really, it's kind of hard for just the regular person to know what they should be looking for and what, you know, just what they should typically have covered. A lot of people think their credit card will just cover them for things. And I don't think they realize that it might cover it, like a cancellation or something, but it might not cover medical or anything like, you know. So can you talk a little bit about what's typically covered on travel insurance?
Absolutely. So normally what you're looking for on a travel insurance policy is a comprehensive package that includes the components of trip cancellation, trip interruption if you have a problem while you're traveling, trip delay, which covers for additional lodging costs if you end up getting delayed, baggage coverage, baggage delay coverage, and then medical and emergency medical coverage. And when you're looking at those policies, it's really important to pay attention to what is covered and what is not. Every travel insurance policy out there has exclusions, and it's really important to make sure you look for what's covered and what's not covered on those policies.
Well, how does that work with now with all the new COVID restrictions?
Well, when looking at the industry, for the most part, a lot of the companies have made the decision to look at COVID-19 as any other medical condition. On the Chubb policies, we're treating it like any other medical condition. If you're diagnosed with COVID-19, it is indicated that you are ill or have sickness on the policy. And sickness on the policy is covered under trip cancellation, trip interruption, trip delay, medical expense during travel, and emergency medical transportation if deemed medically necessary.
That's really good to know, Bonnie, because when this all started, they didn't cover them. So
Yeah, a lot of policies said that pandemics were excluded. So it kind of, it was like a first for everybody.
Well, one of the things to keep in mind as everybody was going through this is travel insurance, one of the general exclusions on the policy is it doesn't cover for government regulation or prohibition or travel supplier cancellations unless the travel supplier cancellation is due to weather type situations. So ultimately, COVID-19 is a sickness, so you'd have to be diagnosed in order to generally receive coverage on the policy.
So does it cover... like, let's say I was going to take a trip and I had bought travel insurance and then one of my parents got sick with COVID-19. Does it cover that like they would regular stuff?
So when you're looking at the policy for trip cancellation, trip interruption, and trip delay, it provides coverage for sickness, injury, or death of the traveler, the traveling companion, or a family member as outlined in the policy. And family member is traditionally in the industry listed as anybody except cousins. So it's your siblings, your aunts, uncles, nieces, nephews, foster family, adopted family, but they do not generally cover for cousins.
Okay. Even though my cousins are some of my favorite people.
I know. And mine too. But I'll tell you what. I have the largest family in the United States, so I have so many cousins. They are just so hard to keep track of.
I do too.
But ultimately, you know, it's pretty much the extended family, but not cousins. That's pretty much what the industry sees as family members.
Now, Bonnie, so a lot of insurance companies have riders for cancel anytime or cancel for any reason. Does Chubb also offer that as well?
We do not currently have any cancel for any reason or cancel anytime type coverage because the policy for travel insurance was really designed for the travel supplier being able to take the trip. And then a customer not being able to travel for several different reasons. There's like 17 reasons on the policy, but no, we do not have coverage for cancel for any reason.
So what should somebody, if someone is traveling and has issues while they're traveling, what should they do? What are the steps? And I think you have a good story about this.
I do. I always have good stories because I have to experience what I sell. So I tend to have some situations come up when I travel. But ultimately, the number one thing, if anything goes wrong when you're traveling, is you should call the 24/7 assistance hotline. And all travel insurance policies have that available to any customer purchasing travel insurance. Because they know the process, they know what you're dealing with, they know what you need to do in regard and be able to help coordinate everything for you. Ultimately, it's a very good experience. So I'll give you an example. When I was in Mexico 3 weeks ago, my husband ended up double spraining his ankle. If I would have called the 24/7 assistance number as soon as it happened, while I was being taken over to, he was being taken over to the hospital, they would have already had a lot of the initial paperwork taken care of before I would have gotten to the Mexico hospital. They would have also already made arrangements for how to communicate with them to assist with advance payment of the bill. Of course, because I'm in travel insurance and I wanted to see what it would be like without calling the assistance center, me and my husband went to the hospital. We didn't contact the assistance center. And when we got there, we had to fill out a lot of paperwork. We had to indicate who our insurance provider was, our travel insurance provider, and fill out a lot of additional information that the assistance center could have gotten ahead of and assisted for us. Ultimately, when we were there, they took us back. A nurse practitioner came and saw my husband. Then a doctor came in and saw my husband. Then the next person we saw that came into the room was a billing coordinator saying, if you would like us to proceed with any treatment or any course of action, pay the bill on the spot. If I would have worked with my assistance company to do that, they would have already made those arrangements for us and we wouldn't have had to worry about the payment itself. So ultimately, it's very beneficial to have travel insurance. And the first thing, no matter what happens during your travel, you should call the 24/7 assistance hotline because they know exactly what you need to do and they can streamline the process for you.
Do you have any idea about how much time you would have saved? Just estimated, obviously, you only did it one way. You didn't try it both ways. So any thoughts as to how much time you might have saved had you just called first?
I estimated that it would have been about 45 minutes in the process, because they had to stop, the billing coordinator had to process all the payments, then she had to get back to the doctor and the nurse practitioner to say the money has been collected. Ultimately, I believe it would have saved 45 minutes to an hour.
Yeah, I probably wouldn't have tried it if it had been something more serious.
Right. If it would have been something more serious, the first call I would have made would have been the 24/7 assistance center. But since it was just a double sprained ankle and we weren't in a hurry, I wanted to just see what the process would be like without contacting them, because I already know how the process works when you contact them.
Right.
So I was interested in seeing it from a different angle, and it was nice to see that experience firsthand.
I can just see Bonnie saying to her husband, "I'm sorry you're bleeding out, honey, but I swear it's worth it. I
promise you." I'm just going to check this out and see how it goes. Just
hang in there.
So what happens if a traveler needs to cancel their travel arrangements? Can you outline some of the reasons generally included on travel insurance policies?
Yeah, you've mentioned a few of them already.
Your number one reason and the most common reason is for sickness, injury, death of the traveler, the traveling companion, or family member. It's the situation where you're purchasing travel insurance and you get ready to go on vacation and you get that dreadful phone call 2 to 3 days before departure, mm-hmm. that somebody was in a traffic accident, they're in the hospital, it's critical, you can't go on this vacation, or a child gets the chicken pox that was supposed to be going on vacation. That's probably the number one reason people have to cancel their travel arrangements, is for a medical of themselves or a family member. The second most common reason for travel insurance is weather-related problems. Keep in mind, right now we're in the midst of hurricane season. And as hurricane season happens, weather does interrupt your arrangements. Flights aren't able to fly if there's lightning within 5 miles of an airport. Things happen. And most commonly, when planes can't get from point A to point B, most of the time it's because of weather-related situations. Even if the area you're in has great weather, it's where the plane is coming from could also delay you from going on your flight. But other reasons outside of that is you have work-related coverage, cancellation if your boss would cancel your vacation, if you're subpoenaed for court, if you get called to jury duty. There's like 17 reasons on the policy. If your destination or your residence becomes uninhabitable by fire, flood, vandalism, burglary, or natural disaster. Mm-hmm. So when all the wildfires are going out on in the West Coast, if that happens to be your destination or your residence. So there are several different reasons on the policy that provide you the coverage to cancel or even interrupt your arrangements if that happens while you're traveling, for you to be able to leave your vacation and come home early.
Yeah, we're finding that a lot with lots of flight cancellations right now, just because of labor shortages. And so people are having to spend the night in somewhere in between quite a bit.
Right. And that would be provided for coverage. If say you miss a connection or you have a travel delay, there's travel delay coverage and missed connection coverage to assist with the additional accommodations that you might have out of pocket that you didn't anticipate because you missed that connection. So there's coverages there as well.
Yeah, I've heard horror stories of people not being able to get to their destination for a couple of days because of flights being full and all kinds of crazy stuff.
It's really good to hear about the weather, you know, that weather is covered, because that's one thing people think that the airline's going to take care of them if, you know, because they're like, what's the airline's fault? Weather? The airline's like, that's not my fault and I'm not helping you out. So that's one of those things where you assume good customer service. If the plane can't take off, they're going to take care of me. And that is actually not the case, right. Not with weather.
No. So With a weather-related situation, it's not the responsibility of the airline, and that's why travel insurance is so important. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times, the reasoning for delays and cancellations of flights are weather-related situations. I've seen that, witnessed that many times in my career of sitting on a tarmac or not being able to fly out because a flight got canceled and getting in extremely late into the evening or the middle of the night, or just having to stay an additional night that was unexpected until I could get a flight out.
Yeah.
So what about for domestic travel? And a lot of people are doing that now because of, you know, having to get tested to come back to the U.S. Do you think that, I think that you probably think that people should still get their travel insurance from traveling in the U.S., but can you kind of talk a little bit about why, just because you're not in a Mexican hospital, why you still would want that if you're traveling in the U.S.?
I always have travel insurance anytime I'm traveling, even when I'm traveling within the U.S., whether I'm going to Alaska, Hawaii, or just within the continental U.S. And the reason for that is because personal health insurance has in-network programs and out-of-network programs. And if I'm out of my network, my personal insurance traditionally has higher deductibles, higher percentages of out-of-pocket that I'm responsible for. And if I'm in California or Wisconsin or somewhere within the United States, those out-of-pocket expenses can be pretty high if you're out of your preferred provider network. So I do always encourage people to at least buy our basics program. Our basics program was designed for domestic travel. Mm-hmm. For people to consider. Also, there are situations when you're flying domestically that you still have to cancel. The weather turns bad. You can't get from point A to point B. The airline flight gets canceled. And having that coverage for cancellation is also important. But I always get the policy more for the medical side of it because things do happen. And I always say everything always happens to you when you're on vacation because you're relaxed, you're not stressed, your body's like, wow. And my husband always says every time I take vacation, that's when I'm going to fall ill or slip and fall or something like that, that I might need to seek medical attention.
And you might be drinking a little more than you're used to.
Well, you got to be careful though, because you can't be intoxicated because that is an exclusion on the policy.
Good point to note.
That in mind. But it's more just when I'm traveling, even within the United States, it's a surround you're not used to. And when you're walking and you're not used to the way the steps are, and like if you ever come to Philadelphia where I'm based, the cobblestone streets mm-hmm. and sidewalks and things, they're hard to walk on if you're not used to walking on them. So anybody coming to visit in my area, I definitely would encourage it because I don't know if you guys have ever been, but there's in the historical district, there's a lot of cobblestone streets and they are hard to maneuver, and don't wear heels if you're going to do any sightseeing in Philadelphia.
Yeah. Don't wear heels if you're going to do any sightseeing. That's just silly. But I think too, you know, big cities, you're looking up a lot, you know, running into poles, running in front of a taxi. I'm not saying it happened to me, but it may have happened to me at some points. Yeah. You're focused on other things.
So. Yeah. So what's some other things that typically wouldn't be covered by travel insurance? We got the alcohol exclusion. That one is, well, you have to pay attention to that.
Well, when looking at the general exclusions, another reminder is that we do not cut travel insurance traditionally does not cover for government regulation or prohibition. So anytime the government institutes a new requirement or a change in travel, that traditionally is not covered. It traditionally doesn't cover for travel supplier cancellations unless it's a weather-related situation, because then that would be on the responsibility of the travel supplier. But other things to keep in mind is they generally do not provide coverage for mental illness. We do not provide coverage for suicide of the actual traveler, but we do provide coverage for suicide of any family member. There's other situations that if you're doing air travel on an air supported device, such as hang gliding, skydiving, parasailing, some companies in the market do have an adventure rider on them. Ours currently do not, but it would be any air travel on an air supported device outside of a scheduled airline. And then, of course, the main exclusion to pay attention to is your customers always want to consider purchasing travel insurance as soon as they make their initial trip payment. Because if they do not, and they wait until up to 24 hours prior to departure, there is a pre-existing medical condition exclusion. But traditionally, the companies in the market do waive that if you purchase within 15 to 21 days of making your initial trip payment. Mm-hmm. So keep that in mind, that the pre-existing medical condition exclusion is there, but there are ways to have it waived if you purchase it shortly after you make your initial trip payment.
Yes.
And I've had to remind people that pre-existing condition doesn't have to exist at the time you book your trip. Pre-existing condition could be something, if you book your trip a year and a half in advance, which people are doing now, and then you're diagnosed with something between now and then, that can become a pre-existing condition if you buy your insurance after that. I've discovered that as well.
Right. So it's really important. The sooner you get your policy in place, the sooner then that clock stops for pre-existing, because our policies, for example, only look back 90 days from when you purchased the policy. But if you buy it within that 15 or 21 day window, depending on the state of residence you're in, then we waive that look back. But if you don't and you wait until close to departure to purchase it or after you've made your final payment on the trip, then we will look back from the date you purchased the policy 90 days previous to that for pre-existing conditions in your medical records.
And also people can't buy insurance because a hurricane's coming, right?
you have to have your insurance purchased before the hurricane, the storm is named.
Right.
So they can't call after the storm is named to say, I need insurance coverage for that storm. You have to have it in place before the storm gets named.
So you mentioned you travel a lot and we travel a lot. When does it make sense to look at an annual policy?
Well, it's interesting you say that because I do have an annual policy, but you want to keep in mind the reason I have an annual policy is I have an annual policy because I'm a business traveler and I like to make sure that I have coverage anywhere I'm at more than 100 miles from my residence. Mm-hmm. I purchased the single trip policy for my on a per trip basis when I'm doing the big vacations of the year. So when I'm going on my big vacations a couple times a year, then I buy a per trip policy for those particular trips because I need more coverage for the trip itself. But because I travel, traditionally would travel 60 to 70% of the time for business, I have an annual policy that's covering me every time I'm more than 100 miles from my residence. So I utilize both. Mm-hmm. And then on my big vacation, I utilize the per trip policy. So an example, during the pandemic, a cousin of mine was getting married in Maine and I decided I wanted to go to the wedding. And my annual policy, because I live in Pennsylvania, it was still well more than 100 miles from my residence. My annual policy, because I didn't have a lot of out-of-pocket costs for that trip, but just basically airline tickets and a hotel to go to that wedding. My annual policy did the job. But when I'm doing a big vacation, like I'm going to Australia or Africa or Croatia, some of my favorites, I always buy a per trip policy for those trips because the cost of those are much higher because annual policies are not driven to be designed for trip cancellation. It's really designed more for while you're on the road and while you're traveling for the medical emergency, medical trip delay baggage. So I keep the annual policies always, I always have an annual policy. And then the big vacations, I do the per trip policy.
I have a question that might put you on the spot, but then I also know you, and I think that probably you actually know the answer. But do you know statistics about like how often people claim for cancellation versus other reasons, like how often it truly is a cancellation?
I would say the majority of the people that purchase travel insurance purchase it because of a potential situation with themselves or a family member getting sick that they're not able to travel on those arrangements. If I had to indicate it, I would say it's well over 60% of the people that would file claims traditionally file for cancellation because it's, you know, when you're traveling, a medical situation arising, you're only on vacation for traditionally a week. So the odds of needing a during trip medical outside of me and my husband having slip and falls and double sprained ankles, traditionally you see that being a lower frequency than you would for trip cancellation.
Yeah, I buy it just so because they lose my luggage. They lose my luggage all the time.
Off. But I asked that because I've frequently looked at, you know, and it's been suggested to me that I should just get an annual plan. But when I look at the coverage for cancellation, I'm like, I'm spending way more than that on these trips. And I would really lose out if I'd cancel. And I probably would cancel. I mean, I'm not likely to. I just got stitches on a vacation, but it was right at the end of the trip. So, you know, the only medical I needed was to get the stitches after, you know, any post-treatment or anything like that, any long-term is when I got home. So,
okay.
Yeah. So, yeah, I was curious about that. That I think annual plans look attractive to a lot of people because of the cost. Because, you know, they think, well, I'm going to travel three times. I feel like it would pay for itself if it costs as much as one trip. But then the trip costs so much that you wouldn't get that money back. So.
Right. And well, and that's where everybody has to make their own choices. And that's where I always like to say travel insurance just gives your clients options and they need to make the right choice in regards to what level of coverage they need and what they're comfortable with in regards to the risk they're willing to take toward whether they want cancellation coverage or whether they just want coverage while they're traveling. One of the things to keep in mind is it's the unknown when you're traveling. If you need a major emergency evacuation, they're not inexpensive. That's thousands of dollars to get somebody evacuated if they have a medical emergency, heart attack, something like that, and they need to get transported to a medical facility via an air ambulance. So it's really customers making the decision of what risk are they willing to take and what are they not willing to. And a lot of it is that unknown. And the reason people purchase travel insurance is for the unknown of what if I get in a car accident or a major medical situation while I'm traveling? Because when you're traveling out of the country, a lot of those countries want their money up front. They want their payment before they render service. So if you can't afford $10, $20, $30, $50,000 out of pocket, you definitely need to make sure you have the travel insurance. Frequency of it happening, smaller, definitely. But the severity of it is what is the reason I always have travel insurance everywhere I travel.
And it happens. It's not like it happens once in a blue moon.
No, I mean, it happens regularly. It happens regularly. I can't tell you how many times I hear about situations where people have gotten in a major accident or something critical. They had a stroke, heart attack, something major medical that occurred while they were traveling and they needed to be hospitalized and then special transportation arrangements to get them back to the States once they were medically fit to travel. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So we all got shut down for a year and we're not traveling very much last year. What was it like for you? Did you end up homebound for a long time or was it very long before you started traveling again? What was that like?
On a business perspective, because the travel industry really did shut down. Mm-hmm. I didn't travel a lot for business. So then I picked it up and said to my husband, then we're going places on a personal level. So I did go to Hawaii. It was the last state of the U.S. for me to say I've been to all 51 jurisdictions in the United States. Wow. So I did go to Hawaii in November, 2 weeks after they lifted the quarantine order, as long as you came with a negative COVID test. So, and I can tell you 30% capacity was all they were at that point. And the beaches were empty. It was glorious. One of the best vacations I've ever had because there was nobody there.
Yeah.
And kid you not, the flight didn't even have 30% of the people on it because they were literally just at a 30% capacity because I went so quickly after they lifted the quarantine order. But it was interesting to experience it. New dynamic. You got to plan appropriately, be prepared to follow the rules, make sure to watch all of the regulatory information that the government is providing. So we went through very specifically when we went to Hawaii. At that point, they had a list. You have to have your COVID test done by one of these 25 companies. And we made sure to follow every single rule, everything that was published right from the Hawaii website to make sure we didn't have any issues when we got there. And it was a wonderful vacation. But ultimately, business travel, I didn't do any last year. And I missed it. I missed seeing all of my travel partners and seeing everybody out in all the different conferences that we attended. But I'm very excited that it's starting to pick up again. And I'm starting to travel again on a business perspective. Actually, this week, I'm leaving for an event. So I do have a business trip this week. So I'm excited. But ultimately, I just substituted for leisure travel. I went back to Wisconsin a few times to see my family. I went to Maine for a wedding. I went to Hawaii. I have been to Mexico as well. So ultimately, throughout everything, I was just willing to follow the rules, look at the embassy websites for where I was traveling to, make sure I was following all their guidelines. And keep in mind, they're changing regularly. I just saw another one that Canada's getting ready to open their borders. And every single country has their own rules, their own guidelines, and just make sure you really get that information directly from their country websites to make sure that it's the most current and accurate information.
Yeah.
That's one of the big reasons we can tell people to use travel agents now too. I mean, I had a friend who was at the airport in Turks and Caicos and was overhearing. Actually, it was on the way to Turks and Caicos. They were not at Turks and Caicos. They could not get on the plane to Turks and Caicos because they had no idea they needed to have a test.
What the rules were.
Yeah, no clue.
Yeah. So, and you know what?
Because they didn't have a travel agent telling them what to
do.
They
obviously didn't read a single email to airlines.
But ultimately, it is truly a testament to what the travel advisors in this industry do for their customers. By far, I give you all the credit in the world as travel advisors, keeping everything straight for every country, how frequently those rules are changing, and always recommending monitoring and double checking 5 days before travel, because they do change on a regular basis, and to make sure you get it from the right source. So I give you as travel advisors a ton of credit for all the assistance you've been providing your customers.
Thank you.
You can tell that to my husband, who's a smart aleck, and now it's a running joke. At dinner, he's like, did you hear today that Canada's, you know, opening up? I'm like, yes, I heard that. Yes. So he keeps like saying things like that. Did you hear that? Yes. Yes, I heard that. Thank you.
Well, and they are changing regularly. I just saw another update for another two or three countries that as of they published the dates in August that they're going to update their requirements. And they're getting much better in regards to opening up, and the rules are changing constantly.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, thank you so much. That was awesome. I love having those reminders of travel insurance because, you know, obviously we always tell our clients this, but we always sometimes just get those really stubborn ones that just are like, So.
Well, you know what? Everybody has to make a decision for what they're comfortable with. And some people make the decision that they feel they can take on that risk on their own. But ultimately, I've traveled the world. I've seen things happen to people and individuals. I see it happen every single day being in this industry. It's something to really know that you want to provide, you want to have the coverage for the unknown, the unexpected. Because if you spent $5,000 for a trip, you know if you cancel, you're going to lose $5,000 unless you bought travel insurance. But it's the unknown that's truly the reason you should buy travel insurance of you're in destination, you have a medical emergency, something last minute, traffic accidents, car accidents, heart attacks, strokes, things to that nature that is unexpected and unknown, how much is that cost going to be? So that's really
knowing,
what customers
just knowing you have about. A number to call. I mean, if you're sure, certainly if you're in a country where you don't speak the language, then you would want a number to call. But also just in the United States, just, you know, I just broke my leg on the side of a hiking trail. I would like to know who to call right away. I mean, right. I'm in the middle of someplace, you know, it's not like home. It's not 911 might work for me, but it would be really nice to have a friendly voice on the other side.
Absolutely. And that's what they're there for. And that's what they're trained for. And that's what they do every single day.
Awesome.
All right.
Well, that is our show for this week. Thank you for hanging out with us. Please like our Facebook page, rate us, and be sure to tell your friends about us. You can find our previous episodes on the podcast page of OutlanderTravel.com, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. We would love to hear from you. And a huge thanks to Bonnie Rushka for joining us this week. Yay!
Thank you.
So much. On behalf of Donna, George, Elizabeth, and myself, Sandy, thank you for joining us this week. Gotta fly.